More than 2,300 people, most of them women and children, have so far been killed and nearly 10,000 wounded in Israel's onslaught on the besieged Gaza Strip. The Hamas political bureau chief Ismail Haniyeh says Israel's plot to evacuate the people of Gaza is doomed to fail, as Palestinians will not leave their homeland. And Iran has warned that the continuation of Israeli crimes against Palestinians will change the situation in the entire region. Thanks for joining us. The Israeli regime keeps pounding the densely populated Gaza Strip relentlessly for the eighth day in a row, killing civilians and reducing buildings in the besieged Palestinian territory to rubble. In one of the latest strikes, the regime killed 27 Palestinians in Jabalia north of the Gaza Strip. Over 2,300 Palestinians have been killed and nearly 10,000 wounded. Over 700 children are among the dead. At least 15 hospitals have been damaged by Israeli shelling and air raids. The Palestinian resistance movement Hamas says at least 21 Israelis and foreigners held by the group were also killed in airstrikes. The attacks began last Saturday. More than 420,000 Gazans have been displaced since then. Now more than 1 million Palestinians in northern Gaza face an Israeli deadline on Saturday to flee south. The territory remains under Israel's complete siege with no access to electricity, water, food, and medicines. The Hamas chief Ismail Haniyeh has accused Israel of committing war crimes and preventing humanitarian aid from entering Gaza. As part of its operation Al-Aqsa Flood against Israel, Hamas has been firing thousands of missiles into the occupied territories. The Palestinian resistance movement has now carried out the furthest launch since its military campaign began on Saturday. Palestinians say the Ayash 250 was fired at Israel's northern command base in the city of Safed. Israeli media claimed that it was intercepted by the regime's missile systems. Sirens were sounded all the way from settlements close to the Gaza Strip to cities such as Haifa. The missile has a range of 250 kilometers. Hamas had previously stated that it can target anywhere in the Israeli-occupied territories. So far, over 1,500 Israelis have been killed and 3,400 injured in Operation Al-Aqsa Flood by the resistance group. Hamas says it launched a military campaign in response to repeated Israeli desecration of the Al-Aqsa Mosque and the regime's crimes and aggression throughout the decades. Sderot is an Israeli settlement close to the Gaza Strip. It's one of the places where fighters with the resistance movement Hamas infiltrated last week during Operation Al-Aqsa Flood. Al-Alam Press Corps has been entering the settlement.
We are here in the Sderot settlement near the besieged Gaza Strip, which has been subjected to heavy Israeli strikes. Now, of course, many of the settlers have left this area after it was targeted by a barrage of rockets. Lots of material damage here, including to cars and buildings, and it happened at a time when there were a lot of settlers here. Sderot was hit by lots of rockets and missiles, and resistance fighters were present here when they started their Al-Aqsa Flood operation. After heavy fighting, the Israeli army took back control of this area. A settlement that was once housing many settlers has now turned into a deserted town thanks to the rockets fired by resistance forces. There are now only military forces here. Still, rockets and missiles are being fired toward this area, rockets that are in response to the Israeli regime's crimes against Gaza. This place is located in the so-called Gaza Envelope, which has been declared as a closed military zone by the Israeli army. Huge numbers of forces and armored vehicles have been dispatched to this area by the regime, which has called up more than 300,000 of its reservists. The Gaza Envelope is still being targeted by rockets and missiles fired by resistance forces. There's also been sporadic fighting in this area, which demonstrates that the regime still does not have full control over all places in the Gaza Envelope. The Israeli army is still trying to once again bring it back under its full control, while regime intelligence forces have declared it a danger zone.
Head of Hamas political bureau, Ismail Haniyeh, says Palestinian people will never leave their land, despite the recent Israeli bloodshed in the besieged Gaza Strip. And he has said Palestinians have a country, and their country is Palestine. Hamas officials said the people of Palestine will not emigrate from their land despite the Israeli regime's barbaric crimes to eliminate the roots of Palestinian people. Hania said the return of Palestinian people to their ancestral land is close, given that the regime's plan, which is assisted by the U.S., is doomed to fail. He praised the military wing of Hamas, the Al-Qassam Brigades, for carrying out the operation against the Israeli regime. The Lebanese resistance movement Hezbollah says it has targeted an Israeli military base in the border village of Shatula. In a statement, Hezbollah said that it had struck the site with guided missiles, causing casualties. The attack came in response to Israeli attacks on journalists and other Lebanese civilians. The Israeli military confirmed that one of its positions was struck. It said missile fire from Lebanon killed one person and wounded several others. The regime added that it responded by targeting Hezbollah's positions. Iran's foreign minister warns that the situation in the region will not remain the same if the Israeli regime's crimes against Palestinians continue. Hossein Amir Abdollahian said that Tehran will continue its efforts to stop Israel's war crimes and will never fall short of its principles in supporting Palestine. He made the remarks during a meeting with the Hamas leader in Qatar. Ismail Haniyeh, for his part, said Operation Al-Aqsa Flood dealt a strategic blow to the Israeli regime, and the war crimes in Gaza show their confusion. Earlier, Amir Abdollahian met with his Qatari counterpart and reiterated the need for ending the siege of the Gaza Strip and withholding food, water, and electricity. He is engaged on a diplomatic tour of West Asian countries focused on the Israeli strikes on the Gaza Strip. He has already visited Iraq, Lebanon, and Syria and met with high-ranking officials there. We're going to talk to Ashraf Shannon now. Let's bring him in. He is at Khan Yunis at the Nasser Hospital, who joins us now to tell us the ongoings there. Ashraf, what do you have for us?
Well, Kaveh, the bombing continues. The drone in the skies, the F-16, F-35s, terrifying the people in the southern Gaza Strip town of Khan Yunis, and heavy bombardment, which you may not be able to see, and because there is no cameras on rooftops in Khan Yunis to show the destruction in the eastern part of Khan Yunis, especially the Sharqiya area, where a lot of attacks happened there amid the ongoing tank shelling and the use of explosive barrels and rockets in that area. The material situation is horrible in Khan Yunis, the same as everywhere else in the Gaza Strip. But this is where we have eyes, Khan Yunis right now. We see our own eyes. But we heard from friends and family, when we managed to get some kind of communication with them. And the only way to do that, especially with areas outside southern Gaza, is through the phone calls. And it's not working most of the time. Sometimes you have to send multiple SMSs to reach someone. And sometimes only those who have tried to make it through the Gaza Valley towards southern Gaza, when you meet them in the UNRWA schools around the hospital, there is a bunch of UNRWA schools where thousands of families are there, and the living situation is horrible. Not because the UNRWA or the officials here don't want to help them. That's not it. There is nothing here, not for UNRWA, not for anyone. There is no water. When you get thirsty, all you have to do is to go a can of soda, which is very hot because there is no electricity. I mean, there's nothing can replace water when you drink, when you're thirsty. So you walk around, you see people drinking from juice bottles, and you said them, you feel like drinking hot juice? It's like, this is the only liquid I have right now. And despite all of this, Kaveh, speaking to people locally, I mean, the natives of Khan Yunis, Palestinians in Khan Yunis, even those who ran away from the eastern part to the western part, which is where we stand. Nasser Hospital is in the western side of Khan Yunis, and the other people who fled Gaza City and other areas in the northern part of the Gaza Strip, they keep telling you, this is 9 days have passed, we're dying, we can't take shower, we don't have water, running water, electricity, internet, or anything, but we're still happy and proud about what happened October 7th, when the Palestinian resistance, Hamas fighters, attacked the Israeli regime with thousands of rockets and managed to humiliate the Israeli regime. For them, this is the greatest victory for those displaced people whose parents and grandparents lost their homes back when the Israeli regime was established. When you ask people, for example, from the Sharqiya area is the closest part to the border with the Israeli regime as far as Khan Yunis is concerned. And most of the people who live in Sharqiya see their land across the barbed wire on the other side, where Israeli settlers are enjoying life, water, electricity throughout the last, for more than 7 decades. And here in the Gaza Strip, they have miserable life. So they tell you they're so happy that some kind of victory was achieved. They feel proud of the resistance and fully support the resistance. This is amazing.
Thank you for that. We do appreciate it. Ashraf Thayer talking to us from Khan Yunis. We're going to cross on over to Maryam Saleh and ask her about the ongoings of where she's at in southern Lebanon. Maryam, at this point, tell us the location that you're at and what is happening there. We know there's been lots of military activity that has gone on there in southern Lebanon.
Yes, definitely. A lot of security and military activity. And what we are here now actually in an area where we should not be. We were supposed to go to Aita Shab between the two villages of Urmesh and Aita Shab. And right behind us is one of the main...
...back to the status quo of calm. We haven't heard any Israeli shelling in the last 30 minutes or so. The Lebanese resistance did launch an operation this morning against one of the bases, which was the bases is very close to here, not the one behind me, but another one that is closer to this point as well. We know that they hit their armored vehicles and their tanks directly. The Israelis say that the resulting from the entire week, you may say, of the fighting with Hezbollah has led so far to 5 dead Israeli soldiers. This is, of course, just news coming out from the Israelis. We don't know exactly the casualties, since the Israelis usually do cover up the true number of casualties that they have. That is on one hand. The other hand is the Israelis continue their shelling of these outskirts. Specifically, where we're standing, we did witness some of the shelling just an hour ago. And so, basically, we are in that same state where the rules of engagement are still basically the same. We have not seen much change. We have seen basically Hezbollah hit specific targets in bases, military areas for the Israelis, whether in occupied Lebanese territory or in the Galilee region. And we are waiting, of course, to follow up that issue. We are getting closer to the line of fire, if we may say. That area of Aita Shab, Urmesh, that was the area where it has witnessed more shelling than other areas from the beginning of the fighting until today. And whether the strategy will continue as such or not, it's not clear. Hezbollah has said that a ground invasion would probably dictate how the Israelis, how Hezbollah would deal with this issue. The Israelis seem to have postponed that as a result of their saying the weather conditions. So that will, of course, postpone any sort of action that Hezbollah will be taking against the Israelis. But still, the Israelis continue to be on high alert. And the Lebanese army is asking that we need to leave this area right now, since they do fear for our life, especially since the Israelis continue to target even the journalists at this point.
One of the important things that I think you could maybe expand on it for us is very significant, and that is the fact that when Hezbollah announced targeting the Israeli army base in Shatola, it was with guided missiles. I'm sure that's something that Israel is very wary of. Tell us why that is important.
It is important. Let me just tell you, since now we know that we are behind us is the base of Ramyat. It is one of the villages bordering the bordering on the southern border, of course. And this is one of the bases where you can hardly get close to, of course. And we are from the southern side of that base. Of course, it is a bit geographically complicated here.
The issue of the fact that Hezbollah uses the right weapons in the right time with the right calculation is in itself very significant. We have heard this from strategy experts, whether in Lebanon, even the Israelis themselves. They know what they are doing. They use those guided missiles. The Israelis say they are shelling that area of where those rockets are being launched or where the missiles are being launched. However, that is not accurate. We know for a fact that the Israelis are only shooting and shelling areas where there are at the outskirts or agricultural areas or even inhabitants. But they were, of course, they only shot up issues that are clear. For example, the surveillance tower for Hezbollah, that was a target that was clear. And that, of course, led to a retaliation by Hezbollah after they had targeted them, of course. But Hezbollah, of course, will use and has been using the right missiles. We're talking about mortars. We're talking about guided missiles. They have not used anything that is bigger than that. Of course, they are leaving it for the significant time or for when they need to perhaps have a wider range or long range targets. But for now, those are the weapons that they are using and keeping to that rules of engagement. And at the same time, like I said, keeping that mysterious method of a strategy and how long that will continue is not clear. That all depends on what goes on in Gaza. I think that will stipulate how the front will change in the upcoming hours.
Thank you for that. We do appreciate it. Mariam Saleh in southern Lebanon.
And that is for this edition of World News. That's bye-bye for now.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Welcome back to Aperture. Over the past 50 years, the average global temperature has increased at the fastest rate in recorded history. Scientists agree that the Earth's rising temperatures are fueling longer and hotter heat waves, more frequent droughts, heavier rainfall, and more powerful hurricanes. The impacts of global warming are being felt across the globe. And it could speed up if we keep burning fossil fuels at our current pace. But it's not just global warming. Other forms of pollution are also destroying the Earth. Now, many experts agree that environmental, economic, and health consequences are likely to occur if current trends continue. Don't go away. Here's the rest of the documentary.
We are a family, the Earth itself, and the humans that live on this planet. We can have a positive or negative interaction with each other. If we do negative things, nature will respond negatively.
متاسفانه Unfortunately, when we collectively use more and produce more, we see this as welfare. Anywhere in the world, if the production of automobiles, cement, or electricity increases, officials of that country take pride in it. For instance, they say we've been able to boost steel production by 10%.
Our main priority now is to cap production.
They would never come and say that we've cut production because the earth is sick, it has a problem, that this year we've cut our production, we've cut cement, we've cut steel in order to cause less harm to the earth. We haven't yet reached that stage.
Today, we hardly consider the future in our decisions. I can frankly say that we never think about the future.
The sky that you look upon, the air that you breathe, is your father. The planet you live on is your mother.
We've failed to take into consideration the Earth's biological capacity, and this is the number one reason for the disaster we're now facing.
The polar bear, the ruler of the Arctic. There are 25,000 of them left in the world. They're on the verge of extinction. Animals need ice for hunting, seals and other prey, but the Arctic is melting.
Our water resources are being destroyed. Natural ice caps, which are the main source of sweet drinking water for billions of people, are melting. These are issues that will powerfully affect the future of mankind.
Everyone here is praying for more rain, but is it already too late?
Lack of water will be the main problem for mankind in the future.
It certainly looks like a crisis after the worst drought in 80 years in the state of São Paulo. Reservoirs have reached rock bottom, and everyone's hoping the rainy season will bring a miracle.
With global warming, we're concerned about the future of the Earth's environment and worried about the continued life of human beings. We're concerned about environmental adversities that could happen to the Earth. For example, the rise of international waters, melting of polar ice caps, and extinction of many animal species.
Look, with the predicted temperature changes, all polar ice caps are melting. Why? Why is all this happening? Because the temperature is rising, and so Q, or heat energy, is increasing. The temperature on Earth is rising. When a place like Alaska and cold climate regions are going down, well, this temperature difference is being narrowed. What will happen if the temperature difference narrows? Distances are being narrowed. So that means depth is being added to. When it becomes deeper, it means we're moving into it.
Due to the destruction we're causing to the planet, polar ice caps will melt in no time and water levels will rise. Then you'll see how many cities will be totally inundated, and this will lead to great expense and loss for humans. How many refugees will we have? What amount of humanitarian aid would be required for those inundated countries and to accommodate their people?
I am thinking about all the suffering you have caused us.
It's obvious that at some level we abuse the Earth to make money, but then we have to spend it, and the spending will probably increase.
I am trapped in this nightmare. I hope I wake up soon. This catastrophe is more than I can bear. But I am a forgiving mother. I cannot stand that my children are vanishing.
The main discussion point here is, to what extent are we endangering the balance of greenhouse gases in the atmosphere?
This is the result of years of indifference toward the rise of fuel consumption by Earth's inhabitants, using fossil fuels and extracting amounts of carbon from the depths of the Earth and emitting it out into our atmosphere, with the oceans and water's low capacity in absorbing it.
Countries that produce oil and gas highly depend on oil revenues for their income. Well, if we discuss cutting emissions, that would mean reducing the production of fossil fuels, and that could somehow affect their income in the future. We humans, for our own interests, have been indifferent toward the Earth by gradually increasing the use of heating devices for transportation, as in cars, or fossil fuels that are used in industries, petrochemical refineries, powerhouses, and household fuels, and so on.
این محصول بی‌توجهی ما به حال زمین بوده.
We all breathe the same air. There may be less pollution in one place and more in another, but its effect on the environment can be hazardous for us all.
برای همه ما میتونه زیانبار و زیانبخش باشه.
Used to be so good, but my children started to forget about me. They started to only think about themselves and forgot about their mother. I don't quite understand why greed has taken such a hold of you. My children have brought disorder to this world.
We will see many people lose their habitats due to rising seawater levels in the future.
Consider the chain of islands that make up the Maldives, which are only 1.2 meters above sea level at most. The country will lose a large portion of its land with the minutest rise in open water levels. Residential areas will be destroyed.
Many people will be unable to continue living in their own countries due to drought and lack of water.
You pointed out to wars being fought in the future over water. Unfortunately, I have to say that these wars have already started. The future is now. Since entering the 21st century, even in our own Western region, there have been serious challenges over water resources. So discussions about war and the competition for having access to water resources have already begun. It may not be that serious now, but be aware of its complications.
A large number of people will have to be relocated because their cities will become uninhabitable.
These people will migrate to places across the world, but these other areas do not have a high capacity either. It will be one of mankind's major problems in the future.
What does it all mean? It will mean high expenses for human living, something we never thought about. We never thought that a big city could ever become uninhabitable, a city with millions of residents, but it's happening.
The people I see, these are people, Paula, let me explain, who are people with limited resources. These are people who did not have the wherewithal to get out of town. They didn't have cars. There's no way they could pay for a hotel room. They stayed in their houses because they had to. And then the water came up. And I'm sure there were elderly here, there were infirm here. It's just horrific.
پیش بینی میشه که طی 15 سال آینده بر اساس بهترین برآوردهای
Based on UN estimations, it's predicted that within the next 15 years at most, between 80 and 90 million people will be displaced from small countries that are made up of chains of islands due to global warming and climate change. Then we won't be dealing with migrants and asylum seekers displaced by war and conflict. We will have migrants fleeing environmental disasters as well. So we need to make people around the world more aware of this eventuation and find a solution for it.
در جامعه جهانی باید با این ادبیات بیشتر خودمون رو مانوس بکنیم و براش تدبیر بیاندیشیم.
If I make a mistake here and go to jail, my kids and family will live the effects. I've done something wrong, but my child will feel its effects. If I make a mistake as a member of the global community, that mistake affects the whole. One multiplied by 1,000. One is a small figure. One is a small figure, but it's multiplied by 1,000. What does it equal? It equals 1,000. We have an index called M for mistake, which is a huge figure collectively. It's the mass of the entire planet. It's not at all a small figure. Now, even if you have an extremely small figure, you're multiplying it by a very large number. 1 multiplied by 1,000 equals 1,000. The 1 turned into 1,000. 2 multiplied by 1,000 equals 2,000. 3 multiplied by 1,000 equals 3,000. 0.5 multiplied by 1,000 equals 500. So we should be aware of what we're doing.
زمینم داره خیلی تلاش میکنه که
The Earth is also making all efforts to somehow balance all the noise and demands we're imposing on it. However, our power, mankind's destructive power, is now seemingly taking the upper hand over the Earth's ability to regenerate itself.
Anyways, we should know that if the doors to the future open in this way, it will lead to a grave crisis.
Thank you.
I am shivering and I feel nauseous. My children, the economic factor is not a sustainable argument. I think about climate change and this disaster.
The components of social welfare need to be changed. The developing world should no longer be using the same criterion the developed world has defined as welfare for its people and follow their footsteps.
If we take an overall look, I think any project, any move, any industrialization, any process or any technology should calculate the temperature rise on the Earth in proportion with the delta T quotient.
Finally, humans can go on living for a week or two without food and a few days without water, but without air, we can't but survive for a minute. It is the most vital of anything the Earth's atmosphere has provided us with. We're using it, but on the other hand, we're destroying it, badly, and with high cost. We place it into a poorly manufactured man-made combustion device and receive toxic chemicals on the other side, which remains. It remains and moves around. And the Earth has no way to get rid of some of these toxic chemicals we've produced.
The economy has limited all activities to itself, and those who speak about the impact on the environment and the earth just talk and hold summits, but practically it's almost useless.
Concern. Just concern. What does that mean? What does being concerned mean? Static concern is meaningless. Concern should be dynamic. If you're concerned, you should do something to reduce that concern. That's a dynamic solution, not a static one. A static solution just adds to your concern and accumulates and is useless. Concern must be dynamic. What does dynamic mean? It means you must seek a real solution for it. It means you need to have a program.
I believe that if we carry on like this, making the Earth sick and failing to do anything about this sickness, we'll be deeply ashamed in front of our next generations. They've had no role in bringing about this situation, yet they have to bear the consequences. Consequences that are getting worse by the day. So I can't do anything but apologize to the next generation who might be watching this film for the disasters that my generation is causing the environment and the earth.
I don't understand why. My children are destroying the one and only home that they have. As my children, they have closed their eyes to the facts. Don't use your planet in the wrong way. We are a part of you, not separated from you.
The Earth has been stable and balanced due to its ecosystem. It carried on with its life way before we ever came along and started hurting and destroying it. Finally, just like a pendulum will do, if you place it out of balance, it will try to balance itself, reach its lowest energy level, and become balanced.
The Earth is our mother. It's beautiful, it's a creator, it's merciful, and we in return are being very bad children.
Well, it's perfectly true that every single one of us citizens of the Earth must do our share to reduce pollution. But to curb global warming and avoid its dire consequences, the countries most responsible must make an effort. The U.S. has caused more global warming than any other country. Research shows that from 1850 to the year 2011, the United States, a single country, produced 27% of the total carbon dioxide emissions of the world. No other single country was even close. Indeed, the U.S. even outdistanced all the nations of the European Union combined. Well, that's a wrap for this week, but join me again next week here on Aperture. Goodbye for now.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us. And try to apply them to our daily lives. How is it possible? By means of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من این قدم آخر نیست.
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step, brothers, not the last one.
هو الذي ارسل رسوله بالهدى ودين.
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth, that he may make it prevail over all religions, though the polytheists should be averse.
والذي ارسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون.
تلاوت قرآن با صوت خوش با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد، موسیقی خاصی دارد، روش خاصی دارد، اینها چیزایی لازمی است.
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones.
اما این کافی نیست.
But it's not enough.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن. دوری از قرآن. از قرآن.
Muslims major problem is losing touch with the Quran. Quran. Quran.
کتاب الله.
This is this
for
is,
a better life.
For a better life.
فرمود بعثت لأتمم مكارم الأخلاق.
The Holy Prophet of Islam says, "I have been sent to complete noble manners."
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Welcome back to Arabic English Radio. Dear listeners, brothers and sisters, this is For a Better Life. I'm Bita and I have the honor to be at your service in this program. As you know, to hear, we were talking about this challenge of adolescence, its difficulties, problems, and we talked about so many episodes like the turmoils, how to control anger, rethinking, reflection, intellect, wisdom, faith, and so many categories of things that we have to go through each of them and, seek for more knowledge, seek for more methods, more things on every domain in order to have a better life and in order to be a better person, a better version of yourself. In this episode specifically, we're going to talk about cause of emotions. In the last episode I made, We talked about these bad and good forms of emotions, and I told you that every emotion in its pure nature isn't good or bad, and it's something that Allah Almighty put in your nature to feel like jealous, to feel angry, to feel this, to feel that, okay? So it's something bad, and the thing that will make it worse, will make it bad, is the consequences that every emotion has, and not controlling actually it, will lead to a big disaster. Let us examine from where these emotions, both positive and negative, crop up and what is their source. If incidents are viewed with wisdom and intellect, positive results would come to the fore. And if they are viewed without wisdom and intellect, there will be negative outcomes. This is a kind of mere fact. And a basic one, for sure. The essence is to see how the youth views these occurrences. This is the very foundation of decision-making, how the pros and cons are weighed. Approaching these very incidents give rise to sentiments. Viewing these incidents negatively and with distrustful attitude would leave a negative impact on our feelings and a detrimental blow to our sentiments. This will result in restlessness, irate behavior on our part, losing interest in our work, and irrational behavior. If these incidents are viewed with a positive frame of mind and the roots and cause are investigated, they will leave a positive impact on us. We would then staff off with positive energy, zeal, and shoulder responsibilities in the best possible manner. Thus, our approach would be based on justice, moderation, and intellect. So, our intellect is something that have to be developed. Let's keep it here, go for a short break, then we're going to come back. Stay tuned, dear listeners.
Your mercy, your love is all I need.
Is all I need.
All I need.
Your love is all I need.
All I need.
Is all I need.
All I need.
Love is all I need.
Oh, 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 oh.
'Cause your love is all I need to be all I need. And I know that you see how much you mean to me.
All I need.
Welcome back to RIB English Radio. This is For a Better Life. If we were talking about this cause of emotions, the good and bad emotions and their positive and negative effects on us. As I told you, the approach that we have towards all these emotions, whether these are bad emotions or good emotions, which, as I told you, there is no bad or good in the true nature of these emotions. The thing that will make these emotions bad or good is the consequences of these emotions, is the way, is the approach that we have towards these emotions, not these emotions themselves. So, as you know, the reflection based on intellect is the basis of moderation in sentiments. True human value is preserved and one obtains the privilege of living an honorable life. Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, says, positive thoughts lead to a calm heart and are the safety of religion. So here, you can see again the importance of having positive thoughts and the way you approach your reflection, the art of reflecting, that we talked it several times in several programs, and all of these just show us the importance and the emphasis on this art that we have to practice every day, every moment, and towards any difficulty and any challenge in our life. The more powerful and active the intellect of a person, the more positive his thinking will be. So, and also we have this quote from Imam Ali, peace be upon him. Positive thinking is in proportion to one's intellect. Following factors lead to an intellect approach and thinking. So I'm going to just name some factors which lead to an intellect approach and thinking. Number one, reasoning should be based on facts and not on rumors. This is really important. We are living in a world full of information, full of knowledge, full of everything. And to find the true way, the right approach towards all this information, in, especially in social medias, is exactly the key to reasoning. Number two, clearly define one's aim and purpose. You know, this feeling of emptiness, this feeling of lack of hope, lack of goal, lack of purpose is killing us. So you have to put your effort on this special part of your life. You have to find your goal, and you have to keep that important fact in your mind that this is not all about here. This is not all about a materialistic short life we live in this world. It's all about afterlife. It's all about the consequences we face, about all the things that we did in this life. Number three, decision should be based on patience, forbearance, and courage. We are a generation of being fast. We just are like, oh, I'm going to make decisions rapidly. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And this is not true. We have to spend time on making decision process. As I told you, it's a process. Don't just manipulate it. Number four, distrustful thinking should be avoided. One should gather facts and consult others before deciding. Okay, we're living in a world of individualism. We think like we are enough, our knowledge is enough, our experience is enough, but it's not. Don't forget consulting with other people, okay? Just, I think we better go for a short break before I make you more tired. Stay tuned. Hello. As you know, we were talking about these kind of actually factors that lead to an intellect approach and thinking. And the last one which we talked about was this important fact that this distrustful thinking should be avoided and you have to consult others before deciding. The fifth point that I'm going to share with you is that decisions shouldn't be based on sentiments and haste. Unfortunately, in this modern world, we are paying too much credit to emotions, to sentiments, rather than reasoning and intellect, which is for sure one of the consequences of technology and social medias. So you have to keep that in mind. You shouldn't pay too much credit to your emotions and feelings because they are not right all the time. The sixth one is incidents should be viewed factually and without internal conflicts. It's all clear. I'm not going to give you any further explanation on that. Let's go for the seventh one. Develop an expertise in solving issues by using intellect, wisdom, and after consulting others. I'm going to share the rest factors with you in the next episode. I bid you farewell. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Every grain of sand in every desert land he knows. Every shade of palm, every closed hand he knows. Every sparkling tear on every eyelash he knows. Every thought I have and every word I share.
Voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.